about the discerner. Who do you think the discerner is? Yes. What do you think the discerner is? If you think about scriptures, about discernment, I have taught a few times about discernment, but this is specifically, if we really want the Lord to do what we have asked him to do and what he has promised to do, we need to do what Romans 12:1 says. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. So are you supposed to do it by yourself? God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Embracing what God has done for you is the best thing that you can do. Embracing what God has done for you. So if you think about what God has done, it's pretty easy to give thanks. If you don't think about what God has done, and you think about what you think is important in your life, you will not be giving him thanks. I felt that this message came miraculously and supernaturally, so I know that there's going to be fruit as a result of it. Not that that doesn't happen every week and every time Pastor Rory and I do share a message and come into a place, but I had no idea what I was going to preach about. Pastor Rory said, "Oh, are you preaching?" I said, "Yeah, sure." I mean, I'm always full, so I have a million things I could share, but you know, the thing is that Holy Spirit has something specific on his heart for this body and for today, and I'm very blessed, Pat, that you and Chris are here, because this is a message after your own heart, knowing the both of you. Our discerner is the Word of God, the Bible. So I'm just going to say this first. If you're not reading it every day, like my mother would say, no, I will not say that. Do it. Read it. Okay? We have what I wrote was Believer's Daily Doses. There's a lot of them, but I just, you know, threw these together. The first being humility. Worship, prayer, thanksgiving. Our daily bread. She's not here this morning, but this afternoon, but Lori had asked me specifically, she said, I need a guide. I'd rather you give me scriptures to read rather than just, you know. So I know she has the daily bread and she reads that every morning. I also told her to just start from Genesis and Matthew, which is what I do, and just go through 4 chapters a day. It's not a big mystery. If you don't understand what you're reading, it doesn't really matter, because your spirit man is what's supposed to understand, not your mind. Your spirit. And then when your spirit understands, it will tell your mind. So it is a supernatural impartation from the Holy Spirit as you're reading the Word. It's important when you're reading the Word to ask the Holy Spirit to read it with you, because he's the Spirit of Truth. Believe it or not, there are times I don't want to read the Bible. You know why? Because every time I read the Bible, something happens inside, and I don't always like what happens. But I force myself every day to read the Word. Most of the time, my attitude is good. Sometimes it's not. But even when it's not, I still read it. I read it until my attitude changes. I read it until I'm totally filled. So sometimes that's a couple of verses, and sometimes it's 12 chapters. I've said this before. I try to keep it at 4 chapters. I have a number of devotionals that I read every day because I love the Word, and I love to read other people's interpretation of the Word and what they have to say. And I usually read encouraging ones, although I do have a few like the Doctrine of Satan, and because, you know, we do need to know what our adversary is about, don't we? Okay. Daily disciplined reading of the Word, the Bible. Confessing our sins, renunciation of fleshly ways and thoughts, our sinful leanings and desires, forgiveness. So Philippians 3:13, 14 reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is this going okay on where the microphone is? Okay. There's a prize for a high calling. Today's message is a calling. It's another calling. It's say, God says, you are here. If you want to be here, this is some of the things that you need to do. He's always calling us. But all through this message, you kept saying, I'm calling. I'm calling. I'm calling. Now, there is an excellent way, isn't there? There is a more excellent way that we can achieve on this earth. We can walk with heavenly thoughts. We can walk in heaven, not on the earth. We can walk in a supernatural understanding with supernatural wisdom. That scripture you quoted, I make my plans, Lord, but you direct my steps. I used that about 3 times this week with 3 different people. Because you know what? We don't always understand what God is doing, and we don't know where he's going and what he's leading us to do many times, right? But the word of God is the discerner of our hearts, the thoughts and intents of our hearts. It's Hebrews 4:12, which I will totally dissect for you, and you will be amazed. So, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, perfection, completeness, Hebrews 6:1, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be downtrodden, weary, upset, worried, bummed out, concerned, sick. No. Nobody's even responding here. No. Filled with all the fullness of God, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19, that's our goal. I'm going to share this with you. I did buy another devotional, and you know, I get them when they're like 99 cents or free on my Kindle. But this was a contemporary minister, and he was saying how to stand in these last times. These evil times is what he called it. There is only one thing that the enemy cannot touch, and no person can touch, and no other situation can take away from you, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ, your intimacy with God. That is the highest goal, is that you have an intimate relationship with God, because no one can touch that part of you. That's in your inner heart and your inner man, and it's safe. It's a secret place. Nobody can touch it. Nobody can poke it. Nobody can do anything to it. Nobody can rob it. Your circumstances can change. You can get rejected. Your situations, your job, your spouse could die. There's so many things that could happen that you are not in control of. But you are, and God, not you are in control, but God is in control of you. God wants to have an intimate communion with you. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So there's a training involved, is there not? Earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. That's 1 Corinthians 12:31. There is a more excellent way. That leads us to understand that there is also a less excellent way. There are many Christians who are choosing a less excellent way because it's easier, but it's not as fulfilling. They don't want to go on the cross with their flesh. They don't want to study the Word of God. They don't want to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. So they have chosen a lesser path. Does God still love them? Yes, of course he does. But we here at RCF, Pastor Roy and I, and the rest of you, because you're here, have chosen a more excellent way. you would not be here anymore. There's no way. Because the teaching is hard. It's a hard teaching. You could go to another church and hear a lighter teaching, an easier teaching, but you would not receive the reality of the living, breathing Holy Ghost, the living, breathing Word of God. And I'm not saying we're the only ones that are teaching a hard path, but we are. I'm telling you that it's a hard path. And most of you know that. But I want to encourage you that you're all doing really well. This is from John Wesley. I believe that the Holy Spirit sets before each of us who have found new life in Christ the more excellent way and inspires us to pursue the only best way which Christ offers and to aspire after the heights and depths of holiness, striving to be fully transformed into the image of God. It is not a new message what we're preaching. This is John Wesley. John Wesley founded the Methodist Church. It's very funny, because my parents are Methodists. My father is still a Methodist, and he's very funny. He's very quiet about his faith, a very quiet man. I told him one time, you know that John Wesley was called the screaming preacher. Because, you know, the Methodist Church is not a crazed bunch of believers like us. That's excited and calling for the fire of God to come down. They're very subdued. But there are Methodists who are choosing the more excellent way. So, this doesn't, again, we choose. So you can think about that. Are you choosing the more excellent way? The main point of our spiritual armor is to increase our faith and love towards God. Faith and love are the two elements that keep us hidden in Christ and walking in victorious joy along the journey. John 10. I'm going to read the beginning of it. I was not going to, but the Holy Spirit told me to read it this morning. So, John 10. This is the reference that I'm going to relate to is John 10:10, which is, I have, you know, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd. So I'm reading that part in the message, but I want to read the beginning of John 10 because it will give you a reference. Jesus says, the good shepherd. I tell you the solemn truth. The one who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep hear his voice. We are his sheep, and we hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Have you not yet heard the master call you by name? Ask him today. When he has brought out all his own sheep, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. And doesn't God do that? When we don't understand what he's saying, he'll tell us a different story. He'll refer us to another scripture. He'll bring up another understanding. He'll bring someone else to say something. He'll bring Pastor Maria to come and tap you on the shoulder. And he'll bring Pastor Roy to say, because we're shepherds. And we love you. And we are dedicated to your coming through with flying colors. We've seen rainbows and streamers behind you as you run up the hill. Hallelujah. Jesus told them this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers. All those others are up to no good. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real eternal life, more and better than they ever dreamed of. Abundant life. So I'll just give you a very simple thing. The enemy, the voice of the enemy, you're trying to discern who's talking to you. The voice of the enemy is trying to get us to doubt, deny, and ultimately disobey God. So if you're hearing a voice talking to you that is contrary to what the Word of God says, oh, you have to read the Bible to find out what he is saying, then you are listening to a deceiver. God will always tell you what's going on. He may not tell you the whole plan, but he'll give you the next step. Because step by step we walk. We make our plan sometimes and he directs our steps. But you know, there's an element of trust in that word. From Psalm 37, that if we commit our ways to the Lord, that he will direct us. The enemy who wants us to doubt, deny, and ultimately disobey God and what his word says has no power over us. He has no power over us. He has no power. He's got no power. He's got no power. He has no power over us. We had a whole dance at the retreat about that. He has no power. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross and made a display of him openly. Principalities and powers. He went, look, they have no power. They have no power. We must keep our lives hidden in Christ. And our flesh crucified and kept under subjection to the Holy Spirit's headship. This is the only way to utterly succeed in capturing and maintaining the abundant life. God has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. 2 Peter 1:3. It is through the true knowledge of him that we have been given everything we need. How do we receive the true knowledge of God? Through the pages of his word. The Bible. Now I have 7 or 8 Bibles on here now. But I forgot. I was going to bring to you the Bible that I used when I first got saved. It was a white Bible, big fat one that my mother and father gave us when we got married. And it is falling apart. It's underneath my bed, right where my pillow is. And it is falling apart. I can't go through it anymore. But it is littered and drawn in and commented and underlined because I took to heart what Jesus had done in my life. And I grabbed a hold of that Bible and I didn't like it for a long time. What? I was very rebellious and very stuck in my ways. But, you know, the Lord knew me well enough to know how to get me to a place of submission. And he did. He smashed me to smithereens, threw me on the floor at the beach, on the ground, and did an amazing job in my life. I mean, I used to jog through the woods, and I was actually going through deliverance, screaming at the top of my lungs. I didn't even know what was going on. But you know what? I didn't have to know. I just submitted to God. I said, do it. Do it. Every week at the church I was in, I was up at the altar sobbing and crying out to God because I wanted to be holy. I wanted to be whole. I wanted to experience the love of God in every moment of my life and every part of my life. And I do. I do. Through the pages of the Word, the Bible, such knowledge comes through God granting us his precious. Now that's what it says. Such knowledge comes through God granting to us his precious and magnificent promises. 2 Peter 1:4. Through the knowledge of him, He gives us precious and magnificent promises. So if you're hearing a voice saying, oh, she's full of crap, don't listen. That is not God. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that, but sometimes it slips out. Because sometimes that's a good word for what I may be hearing in my head. I usually change it to crud, but it a lot of times it comes out that first. But I have to renew that part of my mind. Okay. Discernment is the ability to think biblically about all areas of your life. The only way that you can do that is to be in the Word, to know what the Word says, to know what God says, to understand His character. You look at the Old Testament with the eyes of the New Testament and see the truths and the reality. I mean, it was so clear to me when I studied the covenants and when I studied so many things in the Old Testament that God was telling me something, that all those things had to die. There was a reason why they slaughtered all their enemies, because there can't be one enemy in your life. You cannot allow one pocket of thoughts that are unholy in your mind. You have to wash that with the water of the Word. We want to have the mind of Christ, and we can have the mind of Christ. Don't think you can't. You can, and you can walk in holiness. Discerning what comes from within requires the Word of God and the work of Holy Spirit as we yield to His inspections. The illumination of the Spirit of God using the Word as a surgeon's knife to peel back the junk so that it can be cut out and discarded like so much infected tissue is an essential part of our life as Christians. So I ask you again, who is the discerner? Who is the discerner? I'll tell you. That's right. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living, living. You read this, it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How many of you have seen a two-edged sword? Ouch. Got to be careful with that one. And people that use that two-edged sword, they would stab people in the belly and turn it. If there was a king who was killed in his chambers, and that's what the guy did. He had a double-edged knife, sword, and stuck it in him and turned it. And then the guy was very much overweight, and his fat covered over the... Nobody even knew it was there, and then he died. Guts spilled out. But it's because of the sharpness of both sides of the knife, both sides of the... Isn't this a nice thing to talk about on Sunday morning? Anyway... Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, piercing, even to the division. Yes, it's the best thing you could talk about on Sunday morning. Piercing, even to the division of soul and spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit anointing on the Word do that piercing. Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes we don't really know what the thoughts and intents of our hearts are until we open the Word and read it. That's why sometimes I don't like to read it, because I don't like what I see. Okay, living. The Word of God is living. I'm clean before the King. Having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. Living. Alive, fresh, breathing, and efficacious. What does that mean? Efficacious. It means fulfilling what it began to do. Zoe! It's the Zoe life! The powerful spirit, soul, and body coming under the scrutiny of the living, breathing Word. Powerful, energy, active, effectual, operative. The Word of God is living and powerful. sharper than any two-edged sword. The word, the Bible has actually the ability to divide between the soul and the spirit. That's what we want, don't we? We want to have that division, the mind, the will, and the emotions, the spirit man, and the physical part of us as well. The Bible can cut into that physical part of us as well. So if the physical part is disease, what is the God of all flesh going to do? That's exactly right. That's what is the Word of God going to do to your physical body? He's going to heal it. It's going to heal it. The living, breathing, powerful Word of God is going to heal you. The physical part of us talks about the joints and marrow. That's the physical part in Hebrews 4:12. The Bible has the ability to separate out all three facets of our existence, spirit, soul, and body, laying them bare, discovering what is in the hearts and mind. So who's doing the discovering? You? You would discover that you were amazing. Or the opposite. Some of my discovering was not that I was amazing. But God takes care of that too. His discovering, the Word of God is what discovers who you are. We're talking now, we just read a whole book about who we are and who we aren't. And now we're once again, who are you? Who are you? We're a new creation. We're beloved in God. But see, part of us is not, is it? So we need the discerner to cut away that part of us that is not in agreement with what the Word of God says. That's what the discerner does. The thoughts and intents of our heart, the thoughts and intents of our heart cannot be hidden from the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Oh, here we are again, making a point. Like a scalpel. A single decisive stroke. When the Word of God is doing surgery on you, it's not some little poke, prod, bloop. No, no. It's a knife stroke. And it's done. Slicing precisely, piercing, penetrating through every piece of our existence. This is the Christian walk, folks. Separating out threefold being into its various pieces. Why? Why is this necessary? Can't we just tiptoe to the tulip through the tulips with God? Why do we have to have this work done? Why? Why, Elizabeth? Why? Stephen, what'd you say? That's right. You can't go on the holy mountain with your flesh. And guess what the enemy feeds on? Now, I'm not going to go into all this, but it was amazing. The analogy of vultures feeding on manifested flesh, which is dead, right? Your old nature. So we can distinguish and discern as he reveals to us the truth so that we can be free. That's why. The psyche, psuche, the soul, the heart and mind of the human. Spirit, pneuma, eternal life of a human that comes from the breath of God. In your soul is the seat of your feelings, your desires, your affections, and your aversions. Your soul needs to be purified by the discerner. Spirit, the pneuma, right? That's your spirit man. There are people who have had their spirit man invaded by the enemy. Did you know that? Spirit, especially one of the favorites of the enemy, is the spirit of rejection. He loves to sit on you when you're worshiping and praising God and tell you that you're worthless and what do you think you're doing and who do you think you are. That's a liar. The physical, again, is the joints and the marrow. The discerner is a critic. You can reject the spirit of rejection, right? Did you know that? How do you do that? What? Say no. What's it? What's another way you can come against the spirit of rejection? Yes, what's the word? Okay, what's the other one? That's a good one. What else? What's the one that initially totally targets the spirit of rejection? It's the opposite of the spirit of rejection. That's good. You got something, Chris? There you go. You got it. What is it? We are sons and daughters of the living God. We are accepted in the Beloved. That's what I was looking for. But all the rest of them work. See? Your spirits are moving. That's what you want. You want your spirit to move and begin to tell that enemy to get away from you. Go! Abba Father! When I sing that song, the Holy Ghost just falls on me and totally, just, I'm totally undone. I could just about sing it here. Only with much filling. There's many, many moons ago, there was a woman that was at the church that I was at and I was ministering. By the way, all of you are ministers. Did you know that? And she was moving in deliverance in this group, this small Bible study, which is moving in deliverance. And she's looking at me, and I knew exactly what was going on in her eyes. She was like, and like me, see, I'm a fire starter, a fire motivator. And she was doing that, and it was so amazing. And then she said, Marie, can you play this song? I said, yeah. So I sat down, and she's watching me to see if I have the anointing to play this song. It's called Abba Father. You have not received the Spirit. You have not received the Spirit. You have not received the Spirit that makes you a slave to fear. But you have now received a Spirit by which we cry, Father dear, Abba Father, Daddy God. So I was able to sit and minister. That was a time when I was not ministering. But God used me so beautifully. And I remember it. See that? Woo! Thank you, Lord. The discerner is a critic. I know who I am in Jesus. And I know who he is in me. I know how he uses me, too. And it gets bigger! Woo! The discerner is not he's a critic, but he's not a like shame and condemnation critic. He is a constructive critic. He's constructive, not destructive. Who's the destroyer? So watch what you say to each other. Watch the words you use. My little Shiloh is getting trained, toilet training. And she had just, you know, done her business on the toilet and came out. What was she looking for from her Grammy? Exactly. I went over to her and hugged her and kissed her and said, good girl, good going, good job. Now, what did she do? She went to the But you know what? She's learning that right now. And she needs to be affirmed in what she's learning. And I was able to do that for her. Some Grammys don't do that. But I am one of those Grammys because I love my babies. So the discerner is decisive, discriminative, and skilled for judging. It's a good judging. It's not a, you stink judging. It's a judging so you can get rid of whatever that is that needs to be taken care of. So your thoughts are what you ponder on, revolve in your mind, what you deliberate. Sometimes it's inflamed and it goes around and around and around. Your intents, your reason, in the narrower sense, the capacity for spiritual truth. So the thoughts and intents of your heart. The discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. See, you can confess. I started out in the beginning saying that you need to confess your sins. So if you're in sin, you need to confess. You don't have to go into a whole big rigmarole. I've been saying it for years. Confess, repent, and move back into grace. Don't take all this time in the valley of regret. Just move right back in. The intents, the higher powers of the soul, the faculty of perceiving divine things. That's the part of your body, your spirit man, recognizing goodness and evil. 1 John 4 says to test and try the spirits, whether they be of God. There was a lot more in this message that was about how to deal with the enemy. Maybe another time we'll do that. The Holy Spirit kept saying, no, no, no. do this, okay. Because you need to know who God is and how amazing he is and how much he loves you. But I want you to know that there's a real warfare going on. I'm sure you all know that. But there's a real enemy who wants to destroy, steal, and kill. So you have to be able to have the tools through the discerner to combat the enemy and say no. Your heart, the organ of the center, that is in the center of circulation, the seat of physical life, the faculty of understanding and intelligence, the will and the character of a being, that's your heart, the seat of moral character, the appetites, emotions, passions, courage, the conscience, and the determination of the will. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring what? Does anybody know? There you go. The issues of life. So you need to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So you need to work on keeping your heart, right? In the love of God. This is a key. It is the utmost importance that we recognize how important the separating power of the Word of God becomes for those of us seeking to know ourselves. And isn't that what we're doing at RCF right now? Seeking to know ourselves. Why? So that we can rise above and rule in the supernatural realm and the supernatural life as opposed to just hanging out in the natural. I can just give you a little example. If you look at my daffodils are, everywhere, and I have hyacinth, and I look at those flowers, but when I look at them with God's eyes, I see the root, I see the stems, I see the flowers, I see the different phases of the flowers, the fragrance, the different fragrances, the colors, all the different sizes and shapes of the hyacinth. I have some hyacinths that just have one little thing on, other ones have like a huge and abundance. See, that's looking at something with the eyes of God. You see a whole picture, not just, a flower, and you walk by. My daffodils are all different sizes. I even have little tiny white ones, which are very cute. I don't know where they came from, but they were in the mix. Okay, boom. So we want to rule in the supernatural realm, right? We want to rule in the midst of our enemies. The scripture says, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. The enemies of doubt and fear, anguish, torment, disease, sin, wrong thoughts, persecution, rejection, loneliness. All these things are in the natural. We want to rule over them in the supernatural. And the way that we do that is to allow the discerner to separate the parts of us, some parts of us that need to be taken care of. It is by the word of God that we come to know what we believe. What we believe. For those of us who know what we believe, what has been revealed by the surgical act of the Bible, we can begin to expect to rise above the continual attacks of the enemy, because he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's Mark 16, 16 to 18. Our entire being needs a touch of the Master's hand. Our entire being needs a touch of the Master's hands. 1 Corinthians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Just a little part. Just your spirit. Just your body. Just your mind. Just your soul. Completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:26, in order that he may sanctify it, purify it by the washing of the word. So for us to come into purity and wholeness and maturity, we are submitting to a process called sanctification. Willingly. I'm going to end with a story. Somebody, this actually was Jack Hayford. I don't remember which article I was reading, and I remember looking and saying, oh, I should cut and paste this, so I remember. Oh, I'll remember. I don't remember. But I will tell the story. It was a man who was preaching in Jack Hayford's. He's the one that revised our Bible. He has a church in Van Nuys. He's now a retired pastor, but he's raised up many, many sons and daughters in the faith. He remembered a message that somebody preached, an evangelist was coming through. That was, the evangelist was about 50. He was 14, I think. He listened to this man's message, and it totally impacted his life. And that's what happens. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You know, we hear this, we hear that, we read this. But what are you reading that's feeding your inner man? That's really what you want. You want that intimacy to be compounded and multiplied and expanded and grow. Anyway, this is the story he told, which Jack Hayford remembered all of his life, this man sharing this. I believe it was in Barcelona. There was a group of hikers that were hiking across a rapids. And it was a slow rapids, and there was, you could see the stone, so it wasn't that bad. Maybe it was a couple of feet. So they're walking across the rapids, you know, hiking up the mountain. And all of a sudden they hear this rumbling. Oh, no. This part of the country, there were flash floods. So they all like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? They didn't have enough time to take cover. They were in the middle of this rapids, the middle of this flowing water. So what they did was they grabbed each other's hands and they held on to each other and they stood on those stones. They stood together on those stones and they grabbed each other's hands, and that flash flood came and poured water all over them. And then it left. And they were all still standing, holding each other's arms, grasping together. And I will tell you that immediately when I read that story, the Holy Spirit said, this is RCF. This is what you have cultivated. This is my heart, that the church would stand together with each other, pray for each other, walk through this life together, encouraging each other, praying for each other, rejoicing with each other as we are walking up a mountain to come to a place where we are on the more excellent way. We want to be walking in the more excellent way. We're not taking the lesser road. We're not going down to the lower place. We are going to have hinds feet on high places, and God is going to set us upon our high places. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for your people here today. I thank you for each one that's come, and those that are not here, bless them. Pour your message and your truth on them wherever they are. Let them receive a dose of the Holy Ghost today. We just thank you. I pray that you would seal, Holy Spirit, that you would seal this message, and that truly your people here will hear a more excellent way. They will hear it in their spirit, a more excellent way. they will hear a more excellent way. They will continue to hear you say, I will show you a more excellent way. In Jesus' name. Amen.